Let's get our Bibles out, and we're going to go to Matthew 28, 18 to 20.
And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen."
So when's the gospel lesson on this day? May the Lord add a blessing to it and write it on our hearts. And all of God's people said. Now, Father God, we're asking, please, for the indwelling of your Holy Spirit to come upon your church and open up our eyes, our ears, our hearts, and our minds so we are open and receptive to your word. And I ask you, Father, to instill in me the gift of your Holy Spirit so that I may be able to preach the word which is true to your word and true to your ears and not to man's. And all of God's people said, amen. You know, before I get into the message, I told you I'd come back and give you a report on how my Sunday night thing went. That did not go well. I went in there and I boldly exclaimed, there's about 45 people or so there. And Teen Challenge was there, and I said, "Hey, look, we're going to worship the Lord. We're going to turn the TV off." And oh my gosh, it was like, "Aah!" And I knew I was going to be in trouble because I first walked in the door. Some of the Teen Challenge boys had said to me, "You're not going to start the service till the game's over, are you?" And I said, "That was my intent. Yes, that's my intent." And I commenced to turn some things off, and it didn't go well. In fact, there's somebody still not talking to me because I was doing that, and I lost the battle. That day, well, anyhow, I got a phone call from somebody about the service tonight that I do the worship for those guys, and because it's a playoff game. And the playoff game is at 4:30. 4:30. It would be 4:15, but now it's 4:30, right? And it'll be going on to 7:30, to 7:30, or 8, because it's a playoff game. And so, you know, the person who called me on the phone said, "Well, Pastor Tom, what do you want to do?" I said, "No, the question is, what do you want to do?" They said, "Well, you know, the game probably won't be over at 8 o'clock." And I said, I'm well aware of that. So what do you want to do? He said, "You know, we probably should start the service at 7. I said, "I think we probably start the service at 7 too." And I thought, yeah, I planted my seed. Then I got an email that said, "No, we're going to do it at 8 o'clock." And they want to know if I'm still going to come. So I'm still going to come plant my seed. But I planted a seed, you know, and, you know, hey, it is what it is. You know, I really thought I'd go there, and boy, everybody's going to be yelling with me, yeah, let's turn the game off. But that's not how it went. And I thought, hey, they weren't going to turn it off last week. They surely probably aren't going to turn it off for the playoff game either. Probably not, right? But what I did say that made somebody mad is I addressed it during my message, and I said, you know, I'm telling you right now, if we're in the Super Bowl, and I know the Super Bowl will be on a Sunday, and I know the game will be in the evening, I'm letting you all know right now, we will have a worship service during the Super Bowl, and you choose. And that's why the person got mad at me. So anyhow, I planted my seed. Oh well, what are you going to do, right? What are you going to do? So you win some, you lose some. I won anyhow, so there you go. I planted my seed. So an interesting thing is I watched a football game last night. I watched the Saints, and I watched who they played. They played the Lions. Anybody watch the Saints and the Lions game? Boy, I really wanted the Lions to beat up on them, too. I really did. I was rooting for the new young quarterback. I was rooting for him, and they got up with 2 touchdowns. I said, yo, this is going to be great. And then Breeze did the Breeze thing, and boy, they really spanked them pretty good, didn't they? But, you know, they panned to the people in the stadium. You see how people get kind of weirded out when they kind of have all different colored face paints on and stuff like that, right? And this little kid held up a sign. He said, "Here, kitty, kitty." Did you see that? "Here, kitty, kitty," talking to the Lions. It's really funny. And they were all dressed up in their you know, weird costumes. And, oh, my gosh, they were fans all over the place. How many of you are a fan of something? Who's a fan of something, right? Really cool. A fan of something. And, you know, and you get all carried away because you're a fan. And the question I have of you is there anybody in this room a fan of Jesus? A fan of Jesus? Oh, I wish you wouldn't raise your hands. You see, because there's a difference between being a fan and being a follower. Isn't there? I mean, there's a huge difference with being a fan. I know, explain it to you. A fan and a follower. You see, we have a lot of fans of Jesus, don't we? We have people that dress up in our Jesus shirts. And we, you know, we go to all the games, which happen on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. And we go all the games that happen on Wednesday nights sometimes. And we get all geared up because, man, we're a fan of Jesus. Yeah, I'm a fan of Jesus. But see, there's a difference between being a fan and being a follower. There's a lot of fans. We have fans of Jesus that come to the game on Christmas Eve. Don't we? We have fans of Jesus who come what? Easter Sunday morning. Oh, I'm for Jesus. We got fans for Jesus that go to Zondervan and we buy our Christian t-shirts, right? We got fans of Jesus that wear our necklaces and our crosses. We got fans of Jesus that go out and buy Bibles. But there's a difference between being a fan and being a follower. Isn't there? Another word for follower might be what? Disciple. You see, I was watching that game last night. I saw all those fans. Boy, them fans are crazy. They are crazy. But what if New Orleans lost? What if New Orleans would have lost? I wonder what the fans would have been saying then. Think there'd have been a different attitude? What if the game did not come out the way they thought? I wonder if the fans would have reacted in some other kind of way. I wonder what would have happened if all the Steeler fans today at 7:30 or 8 o'clock will be reacting if we lose. I wonder if there'll still be fans. I wonder if there'll be angry fans. I wonder if there'll be disappointed fans. I wonder if there'll be discouraged fans. Do you know sometimes a fan, you know, if he's really, really, a really, really big fan, did you know that if a fan, if the ultimate outcome does not turn out the way they thought, did you know that person doesn't even want to go to work the next day? They're sick in their stomach. How many understand that? Like, they're having a bad day. But what if you're a fan of Jesus and it doesn't turn out the way you think it should? You're a fan for Jesus and the reality of what you think the outcome should be does not turn out the way that you think it should be. Maybe you're not his fan anymore. Maybe you quit going to the games. Maybe you get kind of disappointed. You see, I thought we win all the games. Well, that's if you get to set the rules. But you don't get to set the rules. See, there's a difference between being a fan and being a follower. Isn't there? And what if we were like a really, really big fan, an important fan? Sissy and I went to a Bible study. It was Tuesday night, right? And we're watching this video, and it's a video teaching thing that Sissy and I were going to. And the guy got up in the video, and he said, "Are you a fan or are you a follower?" And he said, "Here's a fan." See, a fan could come to the game every Sunday morning at church. And a fan can sit in the bleachers. And a fan could put money in the offering plate. And a fan, he can sing the songs and read the scriptures and participate in the game of the service. A fan can do that. A follower continues to do that when he leaves. Amen. That's a big difference, huh? We talked about this man in the Bible study that we attended on Tuesday night. And the man was a big fan, important fan. Big financial donation to the church. Big important fan. And he had a big house and multiples of cars, right? And all kinds of clothes. A walk-in closet that's probably bigger than this part of this church. And he had clothes and cars and a 5,500 square foot house, right? And then he had a heart attack from the stress of his job. And he remembered that being a fan wasn't doing anything for him because he couldn't go to the game anymore. And he decided that because the Lord God had rescued him from this massive heart attack that he had, that he was now going to be a follower and no longer a fan. So he made some important decisions. He told his wife that he wanted to sell the house and downsize. And that he wanted to get rid of the cars. The fact is, he wanted to quit his job and become a missionary. And they're used to a 5,500 square foot house. With 5 cars. They're used to the better things in life. And the wife said, wait a second. That's your choice. That's not my choice. Can we just gradually get into this thing? Can we take a couple years to get into this thing? And the husband said, well, yeah, we can gradually get into it. on the anniversary of the second year, the house was put up for sale. And the wife came and said, what are you doing? Well, 2 years have passed. And she said, you thought I meant that? And he said to her, didn't you think I did? He sold his house. And she came home one day, and all his fancy clothes were laying on the bed. And she said, what are you doing? He said, I'm giving them away. I don't need them. He sold the cars, and they got some little Chevette thing. You see, he had decided that he no longer wanted to be a fan. He wanted to be a what? A follower. And brothers and sisters, I want to let you know something. The Gospel of Matthew says the Great Commission is not go therefore into all of the world and make more fans. It doesn't say that. It does not say go into all the world, into all the corners of the world, and make as many fans as you can. Offer all of the dinners you can to bring in the fans. That's not what it says. Is it? It does not say have the massive meals and all of the programs and bring in all the fans you can. That's not what it says. It says go ye therefore into all of the world and make what? Disciples or followers. And so I thought about that. And we had said when we formed this church many years ago, we had said that we would never, ever concentrate on church growth as remunerated by how many people were sitting in the chairs. That's what we said. How many remember we said that? Ed? Colin? We said we would judge growth of the church by how many people were up out of their chairs doing stuff for the Lord. That's what we said. We said that we would never, ever would we count growth of a church by how many people were sitting in the chairs. We said growth would be determinant upon how many people were out of the chairs doing work for the Lord. How many remember we said that? And we said that growth of the church starts from the inside out, not from the outside in. That's what we said. Because we had said that, over the next 4 months, we're going to go through some discipleship training. I'm going to make absolutely sure we're growing from the inside out. Because we can bring in another 500 people from that door, but if they come in as fans, we're not growing. But you know what happens to fans that don't grow? They'll go some other game. If some other game is better than this game, they'll go to that game. How many know that's true? If there's a better parking plot in that game, they'll go to that game. If there's a coffee shop in the back, they'll go to that game. And that's not what it's about. It's about being a follower. How many want to be a follower? I want to be a follower. And we're going to be followers. That's what we're going to be. But the first thing we have to decide is, well, a follower who's a disciple, what's a disciple? What is that? What does that mean? And I know a lot of people do not know what that means, because a lot of people will say to me, well, what's the difference between an apostle and a disciple? Good question. And people ask that. Well, here's what the deal is. An apostle is a person who was appointed by Christ, personally appointed by Christ, who saw Christ, who was with Christ. A disciple is a learner. Now, the Apostle Paul was a disciple, but not all disciples are apostles. All apostles are disciples, but not all disciples are apostles. How many understood what I just told you? That's the big difference. I'm a disciple, I'm not an apostle. John was an apostle who was also a disciple. Make sense? And so a disciple is a learner. And a disciple is a person who always emulates the teacher. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 6, verse 40.
A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher.
Okay. And so the first thing about a disciple is a learner. And the disciple's goal is to become like who? The teacher. Now I want to make absolutely positively sure that even though I will be teaching you, you do not want to become like me. I'm telling you right now, you don't want to be like me. I've had 60 years of training being like me, and I'm letting you know right now, you don't want to be like me. Because if you're like me, you'll be a basket case. You want to be like who? Christ. Christ is the ultimate teacher, not me. You do not want to be like any of the pastors in this church. You do not want to be like any of the elders or deacons in this church. You do not want to be like anybody on the board of directors. You want to be like who? Jesus. You want to be Christ-like. That's who you want to be like. And so the first goal of a disciple is to be a learner. And the second goal of a disciple is to try to be like his teacher. Turn your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8, verse 29.
For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren.
Yes. And so we are to be conformed or transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Now, to be conformed or to be transformed means that you are in a different image. And whatever image that we are in or shape or status in life, we are to be transformed or conformed into the image of Christ. What has to happen? You have to change. You have to change. Is that easy?
No.
How many hates change? I mean, let's just be real, right? Let's be real. You know, when Sissy and I, you know, we go out of town and we go to like a Holiday Inn or something like that, it's a strange bed, I know my side of the bed. How many know your side of the bed too? Hey, you got a side of the bed? You got a side of the bed? Bob, you got a side? How many got their side of the bed? And there ain't no way you're going to get on my side of the bed. Right? Do you have a side of the bed, Kathy? Right? How many ladies got a side of the bed too? We have sides of the bed. Right? Now, let's just try something really bizarre tonight, okay? How many's getting chills? I'm even thinking about it, right? Bob, you're like going, ooh. It's like Mufasa, ooh. I want you to purposefully sleep on the other side of the bed. How many couldn't do it? How many say, no, there's no way, I can't do it. How many would have an uncomfortable time sleeping on the other side of the bed? Right? Okay, let's try this. Not only do I want you to sleep on the other side of the bed, but I want the bottom of the bed to become the head of the bed.
Yeah, no.
Oh, no. No, you can't. How many say, no, Tom, you're crazy. I don't want to be like you. You are so crazy. So I want you to take the pillows, Lori, and put them at the bottom of the bed and get in on the opposite side. What do you think, Lori? Lori.
Well,
that could, how many would not sleep good if you did that, right? And that's just what? Sleeping in a different position? In the same bed? Are we creatures of habit?
Yes.
We are. And how many of you are really, really good at being you? I am, Eric, I'm an expert at being me. I am. I've had 60 years experience at being me. Ed's had 40-some years experience, right, Ed? I know the math. Okay. And so, when we need to be transformed, conformed into his image, and Yo said it right, to be changed, that is not easy. Being a fan, I get to be who? Me. Fact is, if I'm a fan, I get to be a more crazy me. I can be a different fan every game, can't I? I can come in and be a happy fan. I can come in and be a sad fan. I can come in and be a jubilant fan. I can be any kind of fan I want. But if I'm a follower, I must be like who? Christ. How many days? All of them. You see, it's easy to be a fan. How many can understand that? It is easy. I don't have to change. Fact is, if I'm a really important fan, I want you to be like who? Me. You want to be a fan just like Tom. Be like him. But Christ says if you're a follower, you need to be like who? Him. And there's a big difference between the... How many of you have ever been a fan for the Lord? I've been a fan for the Lord. I can wear the Christ t-shirts. I got them. I got a ton of them. You know what one of my favorite one is? Don't make me come down here. How many's ever seen that t-shirt? Oh, it's cool. It's a God shirt, right? Big, bold, black, has white letters. Don't make me come down or God. It's a good shirt. Here, you'd like to have that shirt with you, Eric? It's a great shirt. Everywhere I go, people say to me, where'd you get that shirt? I got that at the family bookstore. You know another one I wear all the time? I love my wife. It's blue, it's got gold letters on it. I love my wife. Guess what people ask me when they see me wear that shirt? There's two questions they ask me. Did your wife buy that for you? Sue, what? That's the first question, that's the question. Your wife bought that, well, you didn't. No, I bought it. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. I bought that shirt. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. They don't want to believe that I bought that shirt. And then when it sinks in that I really did buy that shirt, they ask me, what's the second question? Would you buy it? No, not what I do. You see? Now, I want to let you know right now, I don't think in the years I've had that shirt, not one single husband ever asked me. Guess who asked me?
Wife.
Would you get that shirt? I'm going to get one for him. You know what I say? Guess what? They got one that says, I love my husband on it too. You want that one? No, where'd you get that one that says, I love my wife? And see, it's easy to be a fan. And everybody wants to be like the fan. You come in to be a fan. You wear your Jesus t-shirts, right? You sing your songs. You put some money in the offering plate. Everybody follows your lead. Oh, he's the most important fan in the place. I want to be like him. But if you're a follower, you need to be the least important person. Oh, wait a second, Pastor Tom. Man, you had me there for a minute. Now you're telling me if I'm a fan, I get to be the most important person. And now you're telling me if I'm a follower, I'm a what? I'm the least important. Yeah! For the first shall be last. And the last shall be first. And Jesus Christ said, I have not come to be served, but to serve. You see, when you're a fan, you get to sit in the most important place. And you're a follower, you get to sit where? In the back. Wow. That's something different. Boy, that's wow. I can be really important in the world's views, or I can be important in heaven's views. Boy, what a choice. But see, when you're a fan, you get to be important. When you're a follower, he gets to be important. And that's a unique difference, isn't it? And when you go through the transformation process, man, that hurts. You see, when you're a fan, you get to have all your fan paraphernalia with you. And Jesus says, you won't be needing that anymore. You won't need your banners anymore. You won't be needing all that stuff. And you don't need to hang around with all them other fans. You need to hang around with me. And that transformation process hurts. Let me understand that. It starts to take stuff from you. And you start to get molded in the image of Christ. And that's not an easy thing. I'm going to tell you right now, brothers and sisters. It's easy to be a fan. It doesn't take much to be a fan. Does it? I'm serious. I'm so serious. You know what? If somebody called me on the phone right now and said to me, hey, Tom, we want you to go to the worship service offered at ABC Church at 4 o'clock, I can go there and be a fan. I know how to be a fan. How many know how to be a fan? I can be a good fan. Oh, I got that fan stuff down pretty good. I know how to dress. In fact, I'd probably say, well, what kind of clothes should the fan wear? What kind of game is it? Is it really high church? And they say, yeah. I say, oh, I know. Okay, I take care of that. How many know what to wear to a high church game? Yeah. I can do that. Put a shirt and tie on. And say, oh, man, I'll be styling. I'll be styling. They say to me, well, you know what? It's kind of more of a layback game. I know how to dress for that. I'm cool with that. How many are cool with that, too? I know how to do that. I'm in. Pastor Tom, you want to lead the worship service at the game? Well, what kind of music do they got? They play hymns. Ah, I can do that. It's contemporary. I can do that. It's a blend. I can do that. But by the way, I need you to be Christ-like. Oh, what? Run that by one more time. See, they want you to be Christ-like. Oh. How do I learn how to do that? I guess I got to read His Word. Huh. You see, to be Christ-like means you have to know the Word. Turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of St. John, 8:31.
Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My Word, you are My disciples indeed."
Wow, how about that, huh? Wow. If you abide, Char, in My Word, you are My disciple. Well, what's His Word mean? You see, I can abide in His Word, but that means abide in His teachings. And abide means in His teachings, means to get in His teachings. And it says, if you abide in My Word, or abide in My teaching, then you are My disciple indeed. Well, wait a second. As a fan, I know the stand-ups and the sit-downs. Because I can follow the asterisks. I know when to stand up, and I know when to sit down. How many understand that? How many have ever been in a church for the very first time? You go into church service for the very first time, right? That's a more formal, liturgical kind of service, right? And they give you a bulletin. And you see at the bottom of the bulletin, you know, you're skimming, scanning the bulletin, right? Skim, scan the bulletin. And you see asterisk, asterisk, asterisk. And you look down, there's an asterisk. It says, when you see the asterisk, please stand. You go, I got this down. I got this down. And so a fan knows the stand-ups and the sit-downs. True? Because he's looking at the bulletin. Now the only problem with the stand-ups and the sit-downs if they don't have a bulletin. Because you don't know when to do it. How many been in a church like that? There's no bulletin. You're going, oh, I don't know when to stand up. I don't want to sit down. I don't want to make a fool of myself. I want to be a really good fan. And so what you do is you pick somebody in the congregation that you think they know what they're doing. And you sit behind them. How many are with me so far? That's what you do, right? You skim scan and go, hey, that person looks like they've been going to church a long time. They've got a suit on. That person knows what they're doing. And so what you do is, right, you sit behind the person. Or so you keep your eye on them, right? That's what you do. And so you sit, right? The guy stands up, you stand up. Right? That's what you do. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. And you're going, if I stood up when the song starts, I must therefore sit down when the song is done. Right? So you sit down. You go, I'm feeling pretty good about this. So it happened to me. It happened to me earlier on. And another song, the guy stood up. I stood up. Hey, life was cool, right? Everybody's standing up. Well, the next time the good guy stood up, I didn't know he was going to the bathroom. No, I don't know what to do. Do I sit back down? Do I follow him? I don't know what to do. See, a fan gets confused. A fan follows the bulletin. A follower follows the Word. And there is a big difference. How can you abide in the Word if you have never read it? How can you abide in His teachings if you don't know them? I'll tell you something. I have been in churches where the Bible has never been opened. Everybody been in a church like that? Well, that's a church full of what? Fans. It's not a church following the Word. Because if the Word's not open, how are you following it? We're following the worship service, the experience. Now, I'm probably going to regret this. I've regretted last Sunday, but I'm okay with it. I'm probably going to regret this one too, but here I go. I have been. I know, Mary, I'm kind of getting chills thinking about doing this. I'm getting chills even going here, I know it. When Sissy and I were dating, when we first got married, I went to Sacred Heart Church in Emsworth Christmas Eve service. Gorgeous. I mean, gorgeous. Drop dead gorgeous. How many's ever been in a Roman Catholic Christmas Eve service, candlelight? I mean, they got it down, Pat. I mean, the choir and the organ. Oh my gosh, the chill bumps, right? Ave Maria. Oh, Ave Maria. Oh, this is unbelievable. I can't believe it. I'm serious. I mean, and a choir stands up and they got poinsettias. They got, everybody must have bought 100 in themselves. I don't know. It's like unbelievable. And the priest comes in with the robe. Oh my gosh, this is a gorgeous. And then he started reading in Latin. How many Catholic people we have here? Sooner or later, you ever been with the? I'm going. And I was embarrassed. I said, Sissy, what is that? Is that Greek? I took French, but I don't know what that is. Latin. How many have ever been in a service and they spoke Latin in a service? I didn't know what they were saying. I didn't have a clue. And I'm saying to myself, I didn't get anything. I was at a show. And that's the part I regret saying. I was at a performance. I was at a gorgeous, drop-dead, beautiful, whatever. But walking out, I was no closer to the Lord than when I came in. How many agree with that statement? I was moved. Beautiful. But I didn't get closer to the Lord. I was a fan. A huge fan. There's something wrong when you walk into a church and there's no Bibles. And I don't care if they print it in the bulletin or not. There ought to be God's Word. And enough that everybody gets one. Because how can you be a disciple if you're not in it? True? How can you be a disciple if you're not in it? Because a disciple follows the Word. You abide in the Word. If you don't know the Word, you're abiding in what? Now, some people will say, well, Pastor Tom, you know, you're pretty good at what you do. Well, thanks, I appreciate that. And, you know, and you're bringing the Word every Sunday. Well, thanks, I appreciate that too. But Jim Jones did that too. Didn't he? Yes. And if all you ever do is abide with what I'm saying, shame on you. Because I'll let you know right now, sometimes I get it wrong. And I'll let you know how I know. Because she who just left to go pick up our grandkids, she lets me know. And if she was here, she'd tell you. You know, and I know it's coming. I know it's coming. Silly me. So we're taking my message. And usually, or sometimes it was, you know, she'll come up to me, put her arm around, hey, you did good today. I said, thanks. You know, but when I got my message, she looks at me and says, well, if you really need to ask. Oh, no. Well, you know, you quoted the scripture passage and it was not right. No? No. You didn't get it right. How does she know that? Because she's in the Word. And she is checking on me. And I'm her husband of 40 years. I mean her no harm. I would lay my life down for her. And she knows it. And she's still checking on who? Me. Shame on you if you're not checking on me too. Shame on you if you're not checking on the elders and deacons and leaders of the church. Shame on you. Because they should have checked on Jim Jones. If anybody would have had a cool, I know, I said, you go first, I'll follow you. You take a big gulp first. You think he would have done it? No. But you're not a leader. And so, it says that we need to abide in His Word. Go to James chapter 1, verses 21 to 25. I see some people still getting it, and that's fine. Especially in discipleship training, I want to make sure you get in His Word, since I'm saying abide in it.
Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted Word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the Word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the Word, not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does.
Wow. See, His Word is kind of like a mirror. And you get to look in the mirror and you get to see exactly what it looks like. You know, I have a degree in graphic arts, and I was an Olin Mills photographer. I think I might have told you that before. For many years, I taught photography. It's an amazing phenomena that, and my dad was a master photographer. My dad started me in photography. And when you take a picture of a woman, if you're lucky enough to do that, how many women love to get their picture? I mean, love, like of all the things that you could do tomorrow, getting a picture taken of yourself is first on the list. Not why, no way, right? And so, you know, you're Olin Mills, and you take pictures of ladies, and they bring them in to show them what the picture looks like. You know what's the very first thing she says to you? That don't look like me. There's no way that looks like me. And I thought you were a master photographer. That don't look like me.
Try drawing one,
right. That don't look like me. Well, what does it need to happen to look like you? Well, can you do something about the... And can you do something about the... How many understand what I'm saying there?
Yeah.
Right? Can you do something about the... In a, can you make it look like me? Oh. Well, if you give me a list of things of how I can help it make it look like you, I'd be more than happy to do that. And the husband says, well, can you do... It looks just like you. Shut up. What's it going to cost to have it look more like me? $60, no problem. What about, he's good enough. You see, what the person is saying to you is, it looks too much like me. The problem is, it looks exactly like me. You see, because the camera doesn't lie. And when the camera flips this little shutter and it captures the real who, you're saying, oh, no way do I look like that. I know in my mind how I want to look. And that does not look like me. And this tells you how you look too. And you don't like it. There ain't no way I look like that. Well, I just think I won't get a picture taken anymore then. I think I'll go to some other game. Because I'm a fan. And a lot of places need fans. And you are not going to get that camera out again and tell me what I look like. Oh, no, you will not. I'm going to go to some other game when they don't have cameras. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. It's true. It's kind of like a mirror. God's word is like a mirror. And even men do this. You know, we men, we get showers, right? And we walk past the mirror. Since he has a full-length mirror, walks past the mirror, and I go... Come on, Eric. Come on. You know you do. And unfortunately, some men go like this. We go... We do. And so what do we do when we look at it, you know? You get rid of the mirror. I don't need that full-length mirror in my bedroom. Put that mirror on your side. True? You don't do anything about jogging, getting in shape, and watching what you eat. You get rid of the what? The mirror. I'm not lying. Here's the other thing that women love. You know that thing your step on's got numbers on it? You know what one I like? I like the one that's got the dial on it. I can change it. How many understand that? This is what, hey, it's true. We get a scale, right? We stand on a scale, we go, there ain't no way. You pick that up, you take it to a different room. Now that's better. That's where that scale needs to be. Right, if the room is kind of tilted and the number goes this way, right? Or sometimes you go down and fix that down, just down, down, down. So it says -5 before you get on it.
Say that one at a time, please.
One at a time. Here she said, there's a scale over y'all, one at a time. And so we do not want truth detectors when it comes to ourselves, do we? I want to be what I think I weigh. I want to look the way I think I look. That's what I want. And God's Word is a mirror. And you open up the mirror and it tells you exactly who you are. And you don't like it. If I can go to some game where there's a lot of rah-rah going on and no truth, and I get to leave the way I came in because I'm pretty happy with myself, life is good. But if I come into a church and somebody starts saying to me, you are a sinner, and they start telling me that I'm perverse and I'm lost and I'm going to rot in hell, wait a second, I didn't sign up for this game. I bought season tickets. I'm trading them babies in. Who are you to tell me my condition? Who are you to tell me I'm lost? Who are you to tell me I'm going to go to hell? That's not what I signed up for. I want the rah-rahs. True? But you're not a follower. Then you're a fan. What did Tom Cruise say to Jack Nicholson? You can't handle the truth. But you know what? Some of us can't either. And maybe you're saying to yourself, well, Pastor Tom, I was hoping you were going next week too. I'm not sure I'm ready for this discipleship stuff. I'd rather just be a fan. See, I don't know if I'm signing up for all that other stuff. See, I thought I'm signing up just to be a fan, to be an attendee. I didn't know I was signing up to become a disciple. Who wants to be a disciple in this room? Anyone want to be a disciple? Do you really want? Do you really, truly?
Yes.
Be careful what you ask for. Because you might get it. Right? You see, I have determined that in 2012, we had talked a lot about church growth. I am determined in 2012 the church is going to grow. I am so bought into it that we are going to grow. I don't care if one more person comes in that door. We're still going to grow. How many want to grow from the inside out? We are going to grow. And when we grow, the Lord will bring us people who need to grow. And I don't care if he brings me 5,000 more fans and I get to sell books. I want growth. And I want one person to grow one at a time from the inside out. We don't need to write more books. We need to read the one book that's already been written. So, welcome to Discipleship 101. We are just getting started. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much that we have the opportunity to grow as a church from the inside out, not from the outside in. We need to become more like you. We do not need to come into the back of the church because there's hot coffee waiting for us in some fancy restaurant with croissants. What we need is to grow like you on our knees. What we don't need is to have Sunday school rooms painted in football themes. What we need is to grow from the inside out. So, Father God, help this church grow from the inside out. Father God, bring us people who need to grow from the inside out. Bring us people, Father God, who need to have a closer relationship with you. Bring us people, Lord, that have to have a closer walk with you. Bring us people, Lord, that need to be transformed in your image and in your likeness. That's what we need. We do not need more succumbers. We need more overcomers. We need more men and women of character. We don't need more men and women with bigger checkbooks. We need more men and women with bigger character. We need men and women who want to be warriors. So, Father God, where we have been right as a little church, uphold us. Where we have been wrong, then rebuke us. Teach us your ways. Father God, help everybody in this small church to become a big follower. And all of God's children said, Amen.